I come to you and I talk with you to try to help you, and was fixing to bring out a thought or two that when these things occur, it makes me reluctant to bring them out. It makes me reluctant to say anything because it causes a ripple in the waters, we say. It causes a distortion. And in that, I stop. Because I think, now, wait a minute. There can't be but one reason for that. Either the devil is trying to stop me from my goal as to what I need to do for God, or either God is suffering this thing. Either way, God suffers it. God is suffering this thing to be like this so that I won't go on with what I had in mind. So either way, the person that does it's in trouble because they're a tool of Lucifer. And I'm telling you again, folks, it doesn't matter if you cry. It doesn't matter if you weep. It doesn't matter if you fast. It doesn't matter if you pray. It doesn't matter if you plead. You'll still go into the lake of fire. When your birthright is gone, though Esau sought it with bitter tears, he found no place of repentance. This religious thing that people have been preaching for years, where you just come and join the church, or you give the preacher the right hand of fellowship, or you come and you shed a few tears, or you come and you stay down the aisle and cry and cry while people beat you in the back. That don't mean nothing, folks. That don't mean nothing at all. It doesn't come like that. I've told you over and over, the Bible said the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That means you don't get them through bawling, or you don't get them through repenting. You don't get them that way. Judas went out and hanged himself because he couldn't find repentance. You don't get them like that. You don't get them by being pretty. You don't get them by being handsome. You don't get them by being intelligent. You don't get them by having money and fame and popularity and feeling you're special, or being young or being old. Or you don't get them that way. You get them through the foreknowledge of God. They're given to you through the righteousness of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. When God looks down from the foundation of the world to look into a heart that is submissive and willing to conform to His desire. And that is the only way that you get it. And in the event that you didn't have that kind of heart when He foresaw you, then that means you didn't make it. And somebody said, well, what are you preaching for? To get all these people, to save all of these people, Brother Pike. It's true. The Bible said, I'll bring saviors up upon the mountain. And we are saviors in the plural. We are saviors. The Bible said, if you convert a man, know that you've saved a soul from hell. We're his savior because we're bone of the bone of Jesus, and we're flesh of the flesh of Jesus, and he's our savior. So as the many membered branches of a tree, so go the limbs of the tree of life, and we're saviors as to that one life and tree. But on the other hand, you can't be saved as to a preacher preaching to you, and the preacher is not sent to save you to the extent that he is the one that gave his blood for you, or that he died for you. Jesus said, you have not sought me, which means you can cry all you want to, but he said, you have not sought me. I came to seek and to save that which was lost, which means that anything that was in the foreknowledge of God, whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever was saved. And when the act of creation came, they got lost. And they're wandering around lost. And Jesus has come as the Son of the Heavenly Father, as the first brother, our brother, to find us and to find those that are lost, to invite them back home and to tell the prodigal that there's food aplenty at the Father's house, and that the robe is waiting and the ring for his finger. So then, only those that are lost can be found. Many people in the world are not lost. You can't find them because they're not lost. There's people that's out yonder in the world of sin doing all kinds of things. They're not lost. It is true that they're cut off from righteousness. And it's true that they're away from God to the extent that they can only be in His presence by grace. But they're not lost. The blood of Jesus atone to take away the sins of all men. And they're enjoying the blood of Jesus to the extent of the allowance of grace. They're not lost because they're devils and demons to start with. They're right at home. A pig bubbling in slop and wallowing in the mire is not lost. He's much at home. But a little lamb wallowing in the mire is lost. He's done lost his senses or got off somewhere or got stuck in the mire, and he isn't supposed to be there. So isn't anything going to be saved except that which was lost? Because he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At that time is Jesus to the Jews, and now is Christ to the bride. So if you are one of them, you'll discover it. When you discover it through the ministry, then you'll act like your heavenly Father, because he'll send his Spirit into your heart crying, Abba, Father. And you won't have any desire to wallow in the mire. You'll pull yourself away from the swine of this world and all of the gullible desires of the freakish things of the world as to dope and gossip and backbiting and sports and all these things that the flesh loves, the love of the world, the love of the flesh, the love of those things, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, making money, going after all these things, you'll pull away from them. Because the nature of the lamb will not fellowship the nature of a pig. He won't do it. You've heard me tell the little thing that happened to somebody where a man was trying to convert another man and tried to tell the man how that we are sons of God. And the man insists that he was not. He said he came from monkeys. He believed in Darwin's theory of evolution. That he came from monkeys, and he knew that he came from monkeys. And finally, it was told that the man that was talking to him got disgusted and said, well, there's one thing about it. A son of God hath no business talking to a son of a monkey. So he got up and left. And that's the way that it is with God. Believe it or not, that's the way it is with God. Sons of God will not fellowship swines and dogs. So we're out there trying our best to redeem or bring back that which is lost. If you'll notice here in the book of Jude, I read this for your benefit. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. See, it says that we are sanctified by God the Father. He's sanctified. I quote the scripture a lot of times. God hath perfected, that means made perfect, perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we're sanctified by the Father. It says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept unawares who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Remember that now. He has called millions of people out of the world, which is out of Egypt. He's brought them into the religious gathering and move of God. But he's still not satisfied. And many of them are going to be turned away because they turned back into Egypt in their heart. Which means many of you have turned back into the world in your heart, in your desire. Though you're numbered with the children, yet the Bible said all that came out of Egypt was not of Israel, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. Which means as to the faith child, the justification by faith. And of course, some of them took their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan. They went in and fought with the children, but they took their inheritance on the other side. So then, that means that many of you have taken your inheritance as to having a business, as having prestige, as having money, of being important, of having positions in the world, You've taken your place in the world for lands and houses and money and all these kind of things, careers, and you're not over the carnal mind, which is Jordan. But you do cross over as to the rain coming on the just and the unjust, even as those people did. But you're caught up to set in heavenly places. As the atmosphere is shed abroad around you to an illumination as it was Adam and Eve. And you can see the beautiful things of God as to the spiritual garden. And the Bible says, having been made partakers of the wonderful word of God and the power of the world to come, which is the Spirit, the overshadowing, tasting of the power of God, being made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Then, looking back into Egypt, he said, you can't go. You can't go. You destroyed yourself. So you're worse off than those that are in the world. For the Bible said it had been better had you never known the truth than after that you've known the truth to turn back to the beggarly elements of the world. Having turned back into Egypt in your heart, then they took their inheritance on the other side of Jordan. And this is where we're at. He said, afterwards, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Which means that if you do not go on with God, you become an unbeliever. And though you believe to the extent that you come out of Egypt, so does the devil believe. You can be a devil and still believe to be in the midst of the people. Satan going up into the presence of God. But the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, Satan came also. Which means the sons of the devil. In that grace is on everybody, the sons of the devil comes to church also. Who are the sons of the devil? Them that have the love of the world and the love of the flesh in them, they're sons of the devil. They savor the things that be of the world. Who are the sons of God? They that have the love of God within them. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. A fountain cannot bring forth bitter water and sweet water. A tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit and good fruit. It's just one way, that's all. So God has allowed this, that even in the dimensional realm, as to the physical assembly, as coming together, even as the church of the firstborn, as to coming together, people gather into these assemblies, but they are to be cast out. They are to be driven out. They're to be put back on the other side of Jordan because the love of the world's in them. And it will fall, it will show the fall of Lucifer. When grace is gone and the blood is taken off of the seat of atonement, it will show the fall of Lucifer and a third part of the angels as to the red dragon, which means carnality or blood life. It means carnality or blood life, which means that the powers of this generation of vipers in their trend as to their stride from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, stretched out like an old serpent, that through their intellectual concept and their definition of religious things as to colleges and schools and seminaries, that they've creeped in unawares. And like in the Old Testament, when they took the Ark of the Covenant away from the children of Israel, these people have creeped in, and this serpent has curled his tail around a third part of the stars. And the term's tail here indicates that it is after Calvary that this thing happens. That it is not as to the beginning of the serpent. In the beginning, and Adam all dies to the head of the serpent. As to the natural man of carnality, that's enmity with God, for to be carnally minded is death. But it indicates that after Calvary, over here, this latter generation, the tail of the serpent, it's the intellectual powers of colleges and schools in our day, religious formalities, it is wrapping its tail around many people, a third part of the stars. But all of these are not Christian people. It is gathering them all into bundles. And I hope I don't offend you, and I hope I don't hurt you, but I'm not here to do that. I'm just here to tell you the truth. The truth is to make you free. But if you don't have a love for the truth, God will let you do your own thing. He won't stop you. All you got to do is just run over it a time or two and he'll let you go. But if you do love the truth, it'll make you free from all of the encumbrance of the world. So, when we think of this, then we see the tail of the serpent. He's curling himself around the latter part of humanity. And what he's doing, he's curling himself around as what they call in Athens the bulldogs, what they call in Georgia the bulldogs, what they call in Indiana the red devils. And over in another place, I remember they called them the bear cubs. And he's wrapping himself around the people in the form of ball games and all kind of baseball, football, volleyball, all kind of games. It's just not ball games, but hunting lodges. He's wrapping himself around as the hunters that follow the season with a regularity. Follow the season with a regularity to hunt. He's wrapping himself around them as a hunting lodge. Like the man across the way over here, Mr. Green, was telling me how that he just, through a hunting lodge, he'd received some great prize or something, you know, through the hunting lodge. So he's gathering them in as to hunters. He's gathering them in as to fishermen. He's gathering them in as to woodsmen of the world. He's gathering them in as masons. He's gathering them in as college students, as all kind of things, every kind of thing. Some are celebrities in the world that's in politics. Some are just in the little ring of gossip. Some are celebrities as to, you know, they want to be entertainers or whatever. Some are boaters. They're boatmen. They just love to have hundreds and thousands of boats everywhere flying around in our little commander going down across the lake up here. I forget the name of that thing. There's so much water. And we saw thousands of little boats everywhere. What is it? I believe it is. Hartwell or something like that. Or what? I don't really know. Anyway, the lake was filled with boats. Same way with airplanes. People that are in leagues of airplanes, you know, they all get together. They got their little clubs. And like RVs, they got their little clubs, the Good Sam Club, they call it. And all these things, and like the Q Clubs, they've got their gathering. And everywhere. See, God is letting Satan wrap his tail around them. Until a third part of humanity. As to the likeness in heaven, so as in the earth. These people being religious, these people, they are weightlifters. They have all kind of bodybuilding plans. All of their attention, everything that they're doing is in the flesh. Everything. It's to the flesh. It's powder the nose. It's paint the eyebrow. It's roll the hair. You know, the Bible said the adorning should be as to the inner adorning of the hidden man of the heart. It said not to the outward adorning of the flesh. Paul saying, though the outer man die, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And constantly, it is gun clubs. It is the Navy. It is the Army. You know, used to, you join the Army to fight. You join the Navy to fight. Now you just join it to be somebody, you know, in their club. They got all kind of benefits. So he's gathering them together in the Air Force, in the Army, in the Navy. And folks, I could go on and go on and go on. Businesses, money clubs, billionaires, millionaires, they have all got their little cliques. See, and all of it together, even non-virgin clubs, they got them. See, everybody is gathering together. Nudist colonies, they're all gathering together in their little group, in their little plans. And God is about to bring a devastating blow from heaven that will crush and destroy and burn them up. The Bible said that the wicked shall utterly be burned up. And then they got their little preacher club where you know you belong to this denomination or that denomination or you belong to something else or you belong to the little preacher's club, you know, or the deacon's club or whatever they've got them, you know. You belong to them. You're one of the boys. They've got the same way, same thing with the medical world, the doctors. The doctor, one, he's up here, he's over this, and the rest of them's in his little clique. I talked to a doctor one time, and they're under his little clique, and they work under his little clique. And the doctors are the same way. In the medical world, it's the same way. Schools, colleges, medicine, it don't make any difference. And I can see Brother Chris shaking his head because he's got a close loved one that's involved in that world, and he's done seen some of it. I can tell the way he's shaking his head. And it is true. See, so Satan is wrapping his tail around the third part. That means that all these religious people are going to be thrown out of the church, cast down to hell. The way they're thrown out, the way they're cast down is by the blood of Jesus coming off of the seat of atonement. And the way they're cast down is by the lifting of grace. Grace lifts. When grace lifts, when the blood is gone, grace lifts. Now, the thought is this. Why is it like that? Why is it like that? All right? I spoke about a little of this the other night trying to explain it. It is like that because blood is the life of all flesh. And as long as the blood, even of Jesus, he was a human being, even of Jesus, as long as that blood is on the seat of atonement, it makes allowance for the beast. That is the beast life. Adam and Eve fell to the level of the beast life. And blood is beast life. It's not God life. Spirit is God life. There's three that bear witness in heaven. And that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is the Father, the Spirit, the Word. And in earth, there's three that bear record in the witness in the earth. That's a record in heaven. This is a witness in earth. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. And so then it is the Spirit life that is eternal. There is no blood life that is eternal. Blood life has a terminal, a place, a termination, which means it's terminal. And so then blood being terminal, it could never be God life. Any life that is terminal could never be God life. And so then Calvary is the terminal point of beast life, or that is the end of blood life. The flood, the great water deluge, water is terminal. And the terminal point of life, as by water, was at the flood. When the flood came, that was the terminal point. Water could not give life anymore. Are you listening? Water, I'm slowing down a little because I lost you. Some of you just, you went like this. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. Water, blood, spirit. Water, terminal. When it reached the flood stages, when it come to the ark, the days of Noah, that was terminal. No more flesh was saved by water. Though Adam and Eve lived off of water, they lived off of the fruits, water life, and they tried to cover themselves with the leaves as to hide their shame. They tried to do that by water life. But see, at the days of Noah, water life had passed over. Couldn't sustain you anymore. Man can't live today by water. He can't do it. He can't stay alive by water today. See, he must have meat. Meat. And that day God gave them as to the meat, the fruits of the trees. That was their meat. As to John, his meat was locusts and wild honey. Meat. You know, meat is a broad word. We have many words that are broad. When we think of meat, we just think of cutting us a slab of meat, you know. But it isn't like that. It's a broad word. Like the word Pharaoh, many men could be a Pharaoh. See, it's a broad word. A lot of words are broad. They cover a lot of things. So then when we come down to Noah, you find that nothing lived except those that belong to the water world. Now the fish went right on. The marine life continued because it belonged to the water world. That was the water life. They continued. That was their rim. It had been given to them. Wasn't any need to cut them off. See, that was their world. Today we have whales that are 90 tons. They weigh as much as your small boat, which is about 93 tons. See, whales, big whales, bigger than the great dinosaurs that scientists speak of concerning the prehistorics or the animals. So when that world ended and the consummation come, water was not sufficient for life anymore. Not sufficient. Though water still comes down from heaven, it doesn't come up from the earth to water the vegetation as it did in that day. So it's not sufficient anymore to sustain life only in the marine world. And then when it comes down to Calvary, as to the blood life, this is the beast life. Adam and Eve had failed from the water world, so all the way their descendants down to the days of Noah, and then when Noah came on the scene, living about 500 years over here on this side of the flood and about 400 years over here on this side of the flood to bring in Abraham, the seed, the father of the faithful, as to a new thing. Then he went out. Here it was breached over from one generation, as we say, to another generation. Where's the generation now? 30, 40 years back then, you know, hundreds of years. Now comes the blood. And Adam's descendants then became dependent upon blood. After that, it was blood. They were not clothed with the leaves of the tree. It could not hide their shame. They had to be clothed with skin. And so then the skin clothing came when God put them on skins. He put them on skins, and today we've had on skins ever since, as of today. You're dressed in skin. You have skin because you're like an animal. You know, you're skin an animal. You have skin. An animal has hair on his skin, so does a man. See, it is an animal life, and you were subjected to an animal life. This is why that God has been able, since the days of Noah, to let the blood of animals atone for sin. Because the animals also have a soul. And in releasing the blood of the animal, then that turned the spirit of life loose. The soul of the animal goes down. The spirit of life goes back to God who gave it. That life, at the spilling of the blood of the animal, goes back to God who gave it. So then the atonement can be blood. That is to say, if he kills an animal, that stops human activity in the beast body. That stops it. So he killed you as a typical thing, pointing toward the day when he would use a human beast. That is, Jesus came as in a beast form to be your atonement. So in this, the blood of beasts could never atone for sin, but it could be spilled as a type and a shadow, pointing to the day when the Spirit itself would have to pay for your wrong. And so then the blood was spilled, and it kept us under the blood covering as to the cloud that was interwoven with fire, because the cloud represented that. It was the fire on the inside of the cloud that represented the blood within the pulp of the semen of the human being. That is a seed of reproduction and the life. By night, it was that way because it meant the carnal mind. As long as life is moving through the beast realm as coming up to Calvary, this means it is in the intellectual reasoning of darkness. It is in the night. And so then the blood is the atonement. The blood within the spirit. The life is in the blood. This fire interwoven in the cloud, the cloud moving along over their head like that, indicated that we were kept under the blood, under the altars of God. The Bible speaks of the altars of God. The big altar, the big brazen altar that relates back to the serpent in the wilderness. Here the blood, the animal was killed, and here he was burned, and the blood was taken as into the inner chambers and then into the innermost chambers, or into the holy place and then into the holies of holies. And in the holies of holies, it was put on the Ark of the Covenant. And we won't go into all those things. You know what I'm speaking of, how that the ark saved Noah and how that an ark was made for Moses and the commemoration of salvation, as the safety was a little ark, because that's the way salvation came. Salvation meaning the saving of the human being as to that day. So they took it in, and these covering cherubs that had their wings over like this, tip to tip, he would go into this place of the holies of holies. He would have this blood. He would take, just before he went in at the entrance, take a little hot coal that indicated the word of God. He dropped that into the perfume as he went in, and with the atoning blood and this perfume that they made, that if anybody made any like it, they were cut off from among the people. He would drop that coal from the altars of God in there. Now, if you look in the book of Revelation, you'll find that just before the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, just before God pours out the vials of his wrath, or the trumpeters begin to sound, you'll find that this angel went up to the altar and took one of these coals and dropped it into this little thing that he held in his hand, into the incense. So then he took the vial, he dropped in the little coal into the incense. This incense represented the prayers of the saints. It represented the prayers of the saints. And when this fire would hit it, the smoke would billow up from it like that. And when it would billow up, then it would fill the whole temple like that. And when it filled the whole temple like that, then he would stand in the midst of the mist. The midst of the mist. That is the middle of the mist. He would stand within the mist of this beautiful cloud and the sweet aroma. It was a beautiful cloud. He said, well, how do you know this? Because the Lord revealed it to me. This is the way they did it. And it was a beautiful mist because when this mist came up like that, these covering cherub that was over here had beautiful colored wings. And looking through the cloud, it would be a beautiful rainbow. You could see a beautiful rainbow through the clouds. And it was the word of God that did it. It was the atoning blood that made it possible. And it was this great, wonderful mist that was the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. You know, we sang that song, God put a rainbow in the clouds. When I see the rainbow in heaven, of course, I see that rainbow, you know, I think of colors, which is the dimensional steps of the church age. But in all reality, what he's showing me in his time is that behind that cloud, there is the great throne of God. And that throne of God has the covering cherubs, which has to do with Moses and Elijah, and the righteousness of God that is confined as to the seven dimensional steps of the church ages within the radius of the law and the prophets, the beginning and the end, and Jesus in the midst as they stood on the mount and appeared in glory. So, it was a beautiful colorama. It was so beautiful. And he would step inside and he had his little old veils on his clothing and his pomegranates and all these things, and holiness unto God, and the little bells will go jingle, 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 and the beautiful colors of the rainbow, and just so beautiful as he stepped into that place, and no one could enter into that except the Lord Jesus. If you'll look over in the book of Revelation, you'll find it said, and the smoke of his train filled the temple as in the days of Solomon, and said, and there was lightning and thunderings and whatever, and no one could enter into the temple till the lightning and the thunderings was over. In the book of Revelation, it indicates that at this moment there was a great judgment upon sin. And nobody dared to enter in until the judgment was over. Like in the days, we find this again in the physical dimension as to showing us the church like at the day of Pentecost. There the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And there at the day of Pentecost, we find that all of a sudden the wrath of God came out and killed Ananias and Sapphira. The lightning and the thunderings. I beheld Satan as Lucifer fall, or as lightning fall from heaven. Lucifer coming out, the son of the morning, the light, that streak of light coming out, being cast out of heaven, being an angel of light, moving at the speed of light, as we say, moving like that. In the days of Daniel, it said the angel flew swiftly. Down he went, and Jesus said, I saw him fall. Great, mighty Lucifer, the son of the morning, the great light. I saw that streak of light as it went down, as I cast him down into the darkness. So then, seeing this, you couldn't go into the temple. And in the day of Pentecost, the Bible said, and no one added themselves to the church until all of this was over. They got afraid. They got scared. So I said that to say this, that this fire within the cloud by day, moving on over to Calvary, the second witness, which was the blood. See, it's moving on over to Calvary. That is to bring an end to blood life. That beast life can never again sustain life as to an eternal thing. It has a terminal point. It is consumable. It is a power. There's a power of consummation. It comes to an end. So then this blood life must come to an end. You may be rich in your blood veins. You may feel good. You may have healthy blood, and the physicians which belong to the second dimension will work with that blood, because the life of the human body is blood. And they'll work with it, and no matter what happens to you, if they can keep it out of the bloodstream, they can amputate, they can do whatever, they can patch you up. But if it ever hits the bloodstream, then it takes the miraculous of God to be able to do anything. Physicians are at a total loss. But that is just in the beast realm. That is in the soul realm. You are a living soul. You're no more than a beast. Unless you can transcend the realms of the blood. And Calvary is the point of consummation for the blood. And Jesus going there as a typical image of the beast, he spilt his blood. That means that no more blood life beyond Calvary, no more blood life beyond Calvary can continue life in the presence of God. But his blood, being pure, as it was the way that God had made Adam, was restored to the garden as the life of God within a pure bloodstream. That at Calvary it was switched over to spirit, and Jesus, the last man Adam, became a quickening spirit. And all of us that are born of Christ, we are born of spirit. Because to be born of a spiritual man is to be a spirit. To be born of God is to be a spirit. God is a spirit. Christ is a quickening spirit. He only gives birth to spirits. If we're born of Adam, then we're born of the beast. We're born of death. We're born of blood. We're born of that which is terminal. So then this blood, the second witness of God as to life in the earth, was blood. And then he brought that to a point of consummation. From that time on, the physicians, is as it was said of Jesus, heal thyself, O physician. We as preachers are the physicians for the third dimension. This is the third heaven. Blood life is the second heaven. Water life is the first heaven. There is a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. And we that have been born again, caught up into the Spirit, we are in the third heaven. We might not recognize it, for the Bible said it does not yet appear what we shall be like so far as our spiritual inner man, because it's covered with skins. And it does tell us, but it does tell us that we will be like him when we see him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope within himself purifies himself even as he is pure. I will see him as he is. That is, I will see him as a quickening spirit, for I am made in his image. I am made in his image. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, how are you going to make flesh and bone spirit? The Bible said Jesus, God, in the beginning, the Word, Spirit, was made flesh. So if the Word, Spirit, can be made flesh, then the flesh can be made Word, Spirit. It just depends on whether or not you are Word, Spirit to begin with. If you are in the foreknowledge of God, Word, Spirit, that means you can never perish. You'll go through these chambers like Jesus did, or these dimensions, like as to death, like as to hell, like as to resurrection. You go through these three-dimensional things, as down into the grave, down into hell, and then you resurrect. So you go through these, but these powers cannot hold you. Corruption cannot hold you. Nothing can keep you because you are spirit. How can you box up a spirit? How can you hem up a spirit? Some of you remember when I was in Arizona, and I was standing there in Tucson, Arizona one day talking to a man inside of the trailer where Betty and I was living, and I was trying to convince him of the power of God to resurrect a man, and how that a man becomes spirit. And he told me, he said, there ain't no way. Real natural minded. He said, there ain't no way. There ain't no way, he said. He almost got indignant. He said, there ain't no way. I said, but there is a way. But I thought, well, how in the world am I going to tell him? He's so carnal minded. And then you remember about that time, the Arizona sun is real hot. It was shining through a glass window, a big plate window. And the man kept saying to me, he said, tell me how in the name of reason is that man going to get out of that entombment? Said he's sealed in there. And the Lord immediately spoke to me and said, now look, son, see the sun that is shining through the glass. Ask the man how the sunlight got through the glass and is there on the floor. Because I was looking at it. And when I did, the man was baffled. I said, now that's the way the man gets out. God is light, see? In him there's no darkness. He just come right through the glass, didn't have to break it. And I said, that's the way it is. Jesus walked right through the wall. And that's the way it is. So at the point of Calvary, it is a terminal place. That ends blood life. And folks, blood is still on the seat of atonement as the righteous blood. Even though life is not by that blood anymore as to natural blood. It is by spirit. And the blood of Jesus is only on the seat of atonement to let the generations of the beast finish out their stride of life, as it was said concerning the seed that went down into Egypt. Said when the Egyptians' days is completely fulfilled, when their iniquity is filled and the cup is up to the top, then I'll send them a deliverer. 430 years wandering in bondage, and then God sent them the mighty Moses to bring them out. So, and the ones that didn't listen to the word of Moses was cut off and died. And then the Bible said today there's a greater than Solomon here today. The word of God is here today, and the Bible said the prophet likened to Moses, that it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. When the minister is ministering, it's not him ministering, but that prophet. And if you don't hear that word that's in this day, you are completely doomed. You're cut off. So then here we see that they that are still of the blood of beast, of the blood life, of the second witness, they're in their heaven. And they're going right on through. They're having their heaven here. It is a heaven to them to eat and to drink and to boat and to go and to curse and to snort and passions and everything else, just to live it up. That's their heaven. And God isn't bothering them. He said this is the land of Esau. And we got to get over the Jordan to get out of their land. Pay your way through this land. I've got to get over the carnal mind. The carnal mind is the love of the world. The carnal mind is to eat, to drink. Passions, all of these things, sports, that's the carnal mind, business, prestige, all these things. Everybody that's within the confines of that is dead while they live. For the Bible said, thou shalt surely die in the day that thou eatest of the tree of knowledge. And that is death, and everyone that's in that confined or that dimension or the realms of these things are dead, and they're dead while they live. But I'm not in that world. I'm in the spirit world. I've crossed over the Jordan. I've crossed over the carnal mind. I've left that world. I have left the land of Egypt with its earthly bondage. And I've journeyed to a place that's so lovely and so grand. I've been led by Jesus to this blessed land of promise. And I'm camping, daily camping. I'm camping in Canaan's land. So then here I am. I'm out of that. I'm gone away from that. Every person that can transcend the world of gullibleness and the love of the world and the passions of the body and the desire of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the desire and the things of this world, everyone that has transcended that, that can get loose from that, that's not in the beggarly bondage of beggarly elements, they are in the heavenly place. They are eternal. They pass from the flesh and they're not in the flesh. Their spirit has escaped the flesh by the death of the body of Jesus, in that the body dies and the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, the angel. And the Bible said to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus, and alive unto God. Ye are a new creature. You are now of the resurrected body of Jesus, not that as to the sin image that was delivered as to our offenses, for our offenses, but as to that that in a new form appeared to them when their hearts burned within them, as the new form of God, that is Christ, or bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then today we are quickening spirits. We've left the realm of beasts, which is a living soul. And we've gone to the angelic realm, and we are they that dwell in heaven, and we've been translated into the kingdom of God, which means my spirit has been translated into the spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And it's one with the spirit. Jesus said, Father, make these one even as we're one. That is, my spirit is one with your spirit, and we're just one spirit. Now make these spirits one with your spirit. All will be your spirit. It'll be right back to the origin where it all started from, before it got severally divided up with all of these things. take the life out of the perverted rat, take it out of the beast, take it out of the dog, take it out of the swine, so far as those that are killers, those that are unlike what you wanted them to be when you made them beast. The Old Testament, if an ox would gore somebody, you kill him. He's a murderer. You kill him. So then, only through the millennium, there in the millennium, only through that can we find a restoration. And in that, only those beasts that are gentle beasts will continue. And only those that are sons of God will transcend the barriers of time by the means of Calvary just before the tribulation period gets underway, as to the middle of the week, and just before we enter into the Canaan land. We'll transcend into the spirit world to see New Jerusalem. The others will wait 1,000 years. But we'll go there to see it, to dwell there, to be as the bride. We are the New Jerusalem. We are the stones that builds ourselves up, as to the church ages, to that one revelational, all-seeing eye of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was shown by Paul as Christ was revealed in Paul. For it pleased God that he might reveal his Son through my life, Paul said, even the sufferings of death in the body, that this Christ within Paul might shine down through the church ages to be the overseer of the church ages. That's why I preach to you today the revelation of Jesus Christ, because your overseer is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the Spirit of Christ, as to oneness with Paul. Oneness with Paul to bring it down to an earthly level, or you could never have had it, because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Came down to Paul in the beginning after Calvary, as to the beginning of the church ages, or the beginning of the church. Then it was built as to Jacob's ladder, dimensional steps, as to the stone of the end, back over to where Paul was, the 12 apostolic leaders here, as the foundation, the city that Abraham searched for, that had foundations, building itself to the top, not as the Tower of Babylon, but building itself to the top, to the all-seeing eye of the wonderful revelation of Jesus. That's why you usually see that on capstone, the pyramid of Egypt, and you see the other things on capstone, and you see on the dollar bill the all-seeing eye, the oversight, Paul in the third heaven. We've come back to the third heaven, so the Spirit of Paul is returned. That is, it is in a earthly dimension that you can receive these things. If it doesn't come in a human spirit, you can't receive it. But when it comes into a human spirit, then you have it in the earth, because it is considered revealed then. It can then transmit itself through human intelligence to you. And everybody will hear the words, but only the children of the light will perceive the light and conceive of the light. The twins are born. One is to the grace of this world and a heaven and a frolic. The other, as to the light of God, is to self-denial of the flesh, that they might transcend and be angelic beings equal to the angels that cannot die, to them that dwell in heaven. That's why the Bible says, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. You're not in the earth. I've chosen you out of the earth. Time shall be no more. We sing the song. That is, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to free all of them that are eternal beings from time. The time era, you're free from the time era, which means if you're free from time, then you're free from death. If you're not free from time, you're not free from death, because there's a time appointed for man to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So then let me say a few more things here, and we're going to close. The revelation is being revealed now for one reason. It's not given to seeds as of many, but as of one. One tree of life, and then many branches. The Bible said God gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. So, in this last dimensional stride, it is spirit. This is the third witness. It is spirit. So then, by Calvary, all men are dead. All men are dead. That's why that the blood of Jesus took away the sins of all men. If it had not been that way, men would have been destroyed. If God could one time see humanity, he'd destroy every bit of it. But he can't see it, because it's dead in his sight by the blood of Jesus. He killed the beast. He'd done away with the beast image, and it is no more. So then, At death, our spirit went back to God who gave it. But to them, they are dead in the sight of God, but they are not dead to the flesh because they don't leave the flesh. They continue in the flesh. But the blood of Jesus covers the whole thing to where God cannot see it. And we're under the altars crying, "How long, O God? How long, O God?" That is our body, as to the Jews. "How long, O God? How long, O God?" But our angelic being is here in glory. So then, the Jews, they don't have their angelic being in glory because Christ has never come into them. They're still in the dimensions of the world and will set up a kingdom in the world and will take over the second heaven and do away with Lucifer, because it's the realm of sonship that Jesus battled for at Calvary, and he's going to set it up and he's going to be the king of it. He's going to rule over it. But you and I are in heaven with his angelic being, even Christ. And that Christ that rules through the body of Jesus is just like my angelic being that will rule through my body and reign through my body, because angels don't have bodies, but we have bodies. This is the blessed blessing of it. The whole dispute is over the body. We have bodies. Angels don't have bodies. We have bodies. That's spirit world. And they don't have bodies, but we have bodies. Now, they have an angelic form, and the angelic form can be cherubs, it can be seraphims, it can be whatever, you know, like Michael, like Gabriel. But ours is different. We have a body, which means that we have access to the appetites of this second dimension. Satan has got it. He's the prince of this world. He's the ruler over it. He took it away from Adam, and it's going to continue that way till the second man, Adam, sets on the throne, takes it back away from Satan, and restores and refurbishes the earth with all of the beautiful things of the garden. So we are angelic beings that have our conversation in heaven. Our life is in heaven. Our desire is in heaven. All that we want to do is in heaven. And when you see all of the turmoil of human beings and all of this mush in the earth and all these problems and tempers and striving, strugglings and all these things, those people are carnal. Paul said, "Are you not yet carnal?" You are carnal. All of those things prove that you've never entered into the eternal stage of life as to the angelic realm. This is the spirit, a cloud by day, no fire within it. And you remember when the fire, when the cloud of fire appeared to us, all of the fire left it, and the cloud as the spirit of Christ as to this last move to show that we was on this side of Calvary, not on the other side where Brother Branham was, as under crucifixion, as to the wreck and those kind of things, but on this side is to the cloud where blood life is gone. And this was the dimension he looked over in when he saw the ladies in the long dresses and saw his wife where she had become a young lady. We're in the realm of eternal youth and eternal riches and eternal power. We're already in this realm as Moses and Elijah that appeared in glory with Christ. We're already in glory. We've already made it. We've already made the translation. We've already made the change by the foreknowledge of God, and we're waiting to wit the change, or wit the redemption, as to acknowledge the change or come to the seasonal place of the change, which means not as to time element that's involved, but rather as to development, as to faith and comprehension, to be able to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of what God done in Christ Jesus in the behalf of the church at Calvary. So this is why I am a preacher of righteousness, to perfect your faith, to keep revealing the things until you believe and understand more and more. The more you understand, the more you believe. They that are of the world cannot believe in this because they can't even see this. They can hear the words, but see, they have not an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. They don't have an eye to see the things that are heavenly. As Jesus said, always the things that my Father do. So then they're cut out. And it's very difficult for me to bring a message, even like this morning. I've just struggled through this, and constantly your minds have been interrupting it. Constantly, because you're very carnal. Very carnal. Paul said, "I like to speak unto you as unto spirituals." And it interrupts the mind of Christ. And that's Satan, to keep these things from being brought forth, because he knows when these things are perfected within the saints, his world is gone. It's consumed and gone away. That's the end of it. So all of you that belong to the third world, you will hear my voice, and you'll be on and on eternally. The ones that can't hear my voice, you're not my sheep. So you can't do what I say because you don't hear my voice. So it says here, God was not pleased with all of them. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So you see, it is eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. See, they defile the flesh. The flesh is cleaned by the atonement of Jesus. But these others defile their flesh after that he has brought them out of Egypt or give them atonement to take away the sins. Said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. So that means to you and I that there's people that's going to argue, dispute, go after money, go after the things of the world, going to strive and going to be eternally doomed, and they're going to wind up in the eternal flames. No matter how much I preach to you, you're going to do what you want to do. And whenever you want to do it, and I can't say anything about it, but I'm trying carefully to indoctrinate you with the truth and let you know where we're living. This is the end of the world. You say, what do you mean the end of the world, Brother Pike? Calvary was the end of the beast world, and you're nothing but beast. Nothing but beast, and some of you brute beasts may be taken and destroyed. So if you're not sons of God, not in sonship as to the foreknowledge, you'll wander after the beast because you are a beast. And when the leader of the beast comes, even Antichrist, you'll wander after the beast. For the Bible said everyone whose names were not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world wandered after the beast. How can you do anything else? Somebody say, bless God, I won't do it, Brother Pike, but you're doing it. You like to fish, you like to hunt, you like to eat, you like to gossip, you like to backbite, you like to go to ball games, you like to do these things, watching TV, you like your movies, you like your magazines, you like everything that pertains to the beast. You paint your face, you paint your lips, you paint your eyebrows, everything, wandering after the beast, after the beast. The beast hath your spirit in captivity to the beggarly elements of the world, because within your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Satan is in there, and he's got your mind and spirit, which is your spirit, in captivity to the lust of the flesh and the things of this world, because he saveth the things of the world, because he's the prince of the world. And even the preachers, he's got them the same way. Preachers are after the things of the world and the lust of the flesh, and all that they do is to get a name, get fame, get popularity, to have somebody to know what they see or understand or what they're telling them or whatever, striving and all these kind of things. They're doing these things day by day, and it don't amount to a hill of beans. God despises them because it's the old image of the bondchild. And I'll tell you something else. If you'll watch people who mock Bethlehemites, people who mock the church, people who mock a true Christian, they're the bondchild. It don't matter if they dwell among you, live among you. They're the bondchild, because always the bondchild, that is the one that's in bondage to the old beggarly elements of the world, as to the natural mind, always mocked the free child. Let's give the Lord a hand. Ain't you glad you're a free child? Proper child. When you're born to free child, that means you're a proper child. Moses was a proper child. We are an elect child, a proper child. Let's stand together. There's a lot of things that I'd like to say, but I tried to cut it short and hurried along and still didn't clarify it like I need to, because I felt you going to sleep on me. I felt your spirits going out on me. A few of you was fighting to really try to listen, but the weight of the others are so many of them that's carnal that they just weight you down until you get sleepy and draggy, spiritually speaking. And then I have to try to hurry and cut it short, and then the inspiration is taken away, and it's just God gets upset and I have to quit or either get myself in trouble. I press on a lot of times like I did this morning, just a little longer, because there's so many people that ask for messages, ask for the Word of God all around the world. You're just one tiny little fragmental people here. So many billions of people are begging for knowledge as to whatever, and they don't even hardly get a crumb. So many preachers are so set on projecting themselves and being the Lone Ranger, as you say, you know, and being the super duper for the coming age or for this or whatever, when there is no coming age and there is no super dupers that's coming. This is the end of the world. That was the end of the beast world. When it come to Calvary, that was the end of the beast world. That ended it. That was all of it. And there was nothing left after that except to comprehend it in the end time. And that's what the revelation is so you can comprehend that you are not a beast, but you are an eternal creature. To get this knowledge, to understand it, to see it is the proof of that. And that brings the faith that transformates your mind into an eternal creature and that will change your body into an eternal abiding substance. So it's the age, Paul said, of comprehending the heights, the depth, and the width. He said back there, I wish you were spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. See, that is Paul so longed for our day. He longed for this day. Because in his day it was the introduction, just after Calvary. But today is the ultimatum and the great finale as to the finishing. God saying that the things of God have an end. This is the end of the things of God. For in the days of the voice, the Bible said, and the angel shall set one foot on the land and one on the sea, raise his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. People are reckoned for as waters. John spoke of people as waters. Not as to the flesh. Scientists say the biggest part of the body is water. But not as of to the flesh. He referred to them as water because the earth has little rivers and streams as tributaries running down and running back to the mighty ocean which represents God. Every little stream of life. You are a stream of life. God has put it there. And ye are the salt of the earth. And you run right back with all the contamination that people are throwing into the waters as to the manufacturing of their own way of life, falls into the stream, like the serpent I killed in the stream the other night, and it flows back to the great body of water to purify to God and then back again as to forms of clouds are in the earth. So he says water, speaks of people as water because they are spiritual containers. They are pitchers, and the Bible said many of them have broken pitchers. Two wrongs that my people have committed, they have forsaken the living God, the true and the living God, which is Spirit. And they've hewn themselves out cisterns, even broken cisterns that won't hold water. Places like Mississippi, they have to have cisterns a lot of times because they don't have well, and they catch the rainwater. But if your cistern is broken, your water will be spilled. Buckets with holes in it. The Bible said, and they'll put it into buckets with holes in it. So, what I'm saying is that as to waters, it means spirit within the reservoirs. Spirit, referring to it as spirit. You that love God, you are spirit. So the end of the world only brought the end of the blood life and the water life. The Jews, it ended the water life as to Noah. That was the end of the water life. That was the Jews. Because their inheritance is the earth and the vegetation, the trees, as to Adam and Eve, the garden, the millennium. And as to the blood life, that is the Gentiles' life. Now their life is coming to an end. Peter spoke of Noah and said, and those upon whom the ends of the world came. Then he spoke of the end of the blood life, and he said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So, the blood life as to the Gentiles' days are over. And that day, as to the water, Jews worked with the water life. And they lived of the water as to the fruits of the earth. That was the sustaining of life. And in this day, they work with the blood. And they live from the understanding and knowledge of blood life. This whole world survives from blood. And then Peter said, this is the end of the beast realm. Now, a lot of things I'd like to say about that, a lot of great mysteries. But anyway, I was to say this, that this is almost the end of the spiritual age. From Calvary over, it has been the angelic age. Marine life, that was in the lower place. That's why the Jews were cut off from God in darkness. They related to Satan and the demon spirits that was put in the lower part of the ark as to the type, the animals. They are cut off in the world of darkness as of the creeping thing. Those angelic beings have climbed up into the second lintel as getting to the human bodies by the means of the blood atonement of grace as to the beast age. Working in the beast as in the garden of this world to try to deceive the Adam and Eve of God, which is impossible. If it was possible, they could do it, which is impossible. But in this second realm, it's not a marine life as to the representation. It is a human life as to the representation. All of these are worlds. God created the heaven, the earth, and the seas. Three different worlds. Three different heavens. And now then we are entering into the spirit, the angelic world. Not the physical world, the human world, the beast world. All of that's coming to an end. It's already come to an end by Calvary. It's coming to an end now in the sense that what they comprehend brings judgment. What you comprehend, you believe. If you comprehend that you're healed by His stripes, then you believe it, then you're healed. Though it was done at Calvary. If you comprehend that you're saved, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, before knowledge, and then brought to light at the rent veil at Calvary, if you comprehend it, then you believe it, then by faith you are saved. Accepting foreknowledge work through believing, that is salvation. So you that cannot believe in the supernatural, you that cannot believe in those kind of things, you can't have it because it's by faith that you're heir. Abraham became heir by faith. Confessed that he was a stranger and a pilgrim, seeking a city whose builder and maker was God. Folks, I'm a stranger in this natural world. I'm seeking a city. The one that Paul built as the great master builder, and yet not Paul but Christ, and the one that the Bible speaks of having foundations as to the apostolic foundations of the 12 stones that was laid, that Jesus laid. Another man can lay no more for that city. And we're to take heed how we build on that as to that great capstone. When the great capstone of that understanding comes, you can't lay no more stones. You might run as one that beateth the air. You might try to build yourself a reputation. But you can't lay no more stones. When the capstone comes crying, grace, grace, that's the end of the pyramid. That's all of it. Anything that you do outside of that will be satanic and be an ambition of the flesh and be self-will. And God won't have it. You can flow in with the great light. You can flow in with the capstone. You can flow in with the great move of God. But as to your move, you might as well forget about it. God has never had but one move, and that was the Pentecostal move from the beginning of the church age. And though we look around and see all these other things, say, well, I know about the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal. I know about the non-denominational. I know about this man's great healing ministry. I know about this. I know about that. And that's true. You might do. It's like the days of Solomon. God just said, you go your way and you hew out the stones over here, and you go your way and you hew out the wood over here. And when you get through with your beating and banging and fussing and striving and arguing and you get it all together, then bring your little group over here and it'll be one quiet, peaceful stone that will fit into the building. But don't come around this building with all of that stuff. And right now they've about ended all of it. They've about quibbled and quibbled and quibbled until they've about got it all settled. And they're beginning to look for a little growth in God. In the days of Solomon, God brought the peace. All of it had to be peace to fit that together as that great pyramid city. And if you've got your quibblings over, and if you've got your personalities finished, and your wild theory of who you are and what you're going to be, you're all right, like a man that came over here and I blessed him, given to him, helped him do everything I could. A number of people like that. And they went out, and they boasted, and they sounded the trumpet, told who they were, to wind up in adultery, to wind up in fornication, bragged about how that they was going to take over. God had it all mapped out in their poor, deluded minds as to how that they was going to take over. They done had their visions and done had their instructions and their dreams and everything else as to put the Word of God aside and to take over, and they went back and made a mess, and God didn't use them at all. And that's what's happening to all of them. There won't be any exceptions. All of them will be the same. Never be one of them, but what they'll have to flow in with this, or they don't go anywhere. They're not anything. We spoke of the lights going out. It came to pass. Years before they ever went out, you've seen them drop out. You've seen Robinson drop out. Jim Baker drop out. You've seen Ole Roberts drop out. You've seen one right after another drop out. And I don't know of anybody that's on the field. If you know, I'd like for you to tell me. I don't know of any chief leader that's on the field. Not one. We spoke of Brother Branham's death. We spoke of Brother Jack Coe. Spoke of the others, the different things. And it's happened right down the line. You know why? Because the Bible said, all of these, ye shall fold them up as a garment and lay them away. But said, as unto thee, speaking of the Son, unto thee, O Son, thy priesthood and thy kingdom shall be an everlasting one, even from everlasting to everlasting, and of it shall be no end. And of the increase of thy kingdom shall be no end. So we've come to sonship and being caught up to the throne as from Paul down through the church ages, even the bride, one with the Savior. We are ruler of heaven and earth and all that's in heaven and earth. And all of it belongs to us. Every bit of it. The abstract has been run and we've redeemed it back to ourselves. And it all belongs to us. And only those that are one with us as the body of Jesus dwells in this knowledge of this revelation of this light. Otherwise, it's carnality and self-ambition. Jesus alone dwells in that light, and we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He alone dwells in that light, having immortality. And if you are of that generation, or if you are of that dimension, if you are of that move as of this world, there won't be no end of the world coming upon you. The end of the world, the water. The end of the world, the blood. The end of the world, ain't no end of the world with this one. This is the Spirit. There is no end of the world. Angels cannot die. Even those that are rejected of God, they go into an eternal punishment as to an eternal flame because of their life. All right, let's sing a chorus together. A lot of things I'd like to say to you, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. There's no doubt about it. They that are hearing my voice, there are some of those that are sons of God, daughters of God in Christ, neither male nor female. They're all sons of God because it's Mrs. Adam. They're one. It's just a human being. What I'm saying is that everyone that's in that world is free from the flesh. They're eternally alive. Eternally alive. And there are people that are listening to my voice that have eternal life. They are not going to be, not going to receive it, not going to the judgment to find out if they're good enough to have it. They are already eternally alive. Have been always, because they were the foreknowledge of God. And God's always been. He was, he is, and shall be. And we are the attributes from the genes of our Father as to the reproduction of eternal existence and that of a spiritual plane. Or we are of that of thy Father, our Father, even a quickening spirit, even our Father, as to one with him. We are his sons and daughters. Eternally alive forever. Never known anything. Never known death. Never known sorrow, never known heartaches, never known anything except in him as to allowance that we might feel the infirmities of the weak, and that these things that we look at as being temporal are just something to train us with. It's just a school that we're in. Not to harm us. He never did want to hurt us. He never has wanted us to experience one pain. But it is something to reveal life. Sweet is revealed by bitter. Health is revealed by sickness. Heat is revealed by the cold. Light is revealed by the darkness. Look down here where the cameras are. See the darkness? You couldn't see that darkness if it wasn't for the light, because your eyes would adjust automatically as to the darkness. As far as you're concerned, it's light where you're standing. See, the song said, I can see the lights of the city, that dimensional light, the candle power growing brighter, brighter. Why is that? There is a reason. Let's sing this song together, can we? Light is understanding. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. Or I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to the Savior and hear His sweet voice, and don't turn Him away. I want you to lift your hands up with me. I appreciate you coming this morning. I hope that something has been said that will find its way down into your heart. We're gradually revealing to you the secrets of eternal life, and yet not us, but Christ that speaketh from within us. And some of you are going to hear. You have an ear to hear. And some of you are going to receive it. You're going to receive that eternal life. You're going to hear what I'm saying. And you're going to receive it. Some of you are going to receive it. Some of you are eternal creatures made to live forever. And all I'm doing is revealing eternal life, revealing eternal regime, revealing eternal health, revealing eternal riches, splendor, youth, and glory. That you that are the eternal ones, that you might from glory to glory receive it without being destroyed. If it all was revealed to you at one time, the light would be so bright that you'd be as the coming of the Ancient of Days, that the earth would fade away. You would fade away. Everything would go into oblivion. So we're revealing it to you a little at a time, from glory to glory. The Spirit is doing it from precipitation to precipitation. And He's doing something for you. In what He is doing, He doesn't want us to be vainly puffed up by our fleshly mind. He is revealing this to us so that we can change our blood genetics and saving ourselves from death and from this temporal life, from this underworld generation. So from glory to glory, He's revealing it to you. Like a little child starting in school, in kindergarten, and then coming on until he reaches the place of his diplomacy, and then he is about his father's business. He comes through the bar mitzvah, and then he takes over. The catching up to the throne. He's been heir of everything all the time. But he's been under the tutors until the time appointed of the Father. We're just tutors. We're trying to bring you to the time appointed of the Father, and the time of the Father's appointment is the bar mitzvah. So then the question arises, what do you mean, Brother Pike, bar mitzvah? To the Jewish people, the bar mitzvah meant that the child had got 12 to 13 years old. He had come to the ages to be accepted as sonship, and then he went into the ruling power as to an authority. Jesus amazed the wise men at the age of 12. And what the bar mitzvah means, it means the redemption of the body. See, the bar mitzvah means the redemption of the body. Someone would say, well, why is the body not already redeemed, Brother Pye? It is redeemed so far as the price has been paid for it. Like the songwriter said, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. See, He's already redeemed, but to wit, the witting means being tutored unto. But you cannot wit something you don't know, you know, never been taught you or revealed to you. But as we reveal it to you, as to the Spirit, you wit. You were it, that you are not supposed to die, that you're not a creature of death, that you're not supposed to be put in a casket, you're not supposed to be thrown in a hole. And you keep on, and the generations dies out because they don't fully wit. But after a while, the last ones is coming in. They're going to fully wit. And then death will have no power. See, because death is already conquered. The Bible said death is the last enemy to be conquered, but that means the second death as to the lake of fire. Death has already been conquered for you as to the death, the lake of fire. All you're doing is, as Christians, is just going to sleep. Them other people are dying. They go into hell. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. But when you die, you don't go into hell. Your spirit goes into paradise. Your body just went to sleep until your spirit can return to it. So what is the bar mitzvah? What do we mean by the bar mitzvah? What do we mean by that? It means the adoption. Adoption. See, the body has to be adopted. It has to be adopted. You're born again. As to your spirit, you're born of God. You're born of Christ Jesus. And your spirit doesn't have to be adopted because you are born of God. And your spirit is already in the kingdom of God. It's already there. Satan can't touch that. And you're already eternally alive in your angelic being. Paul called it the inner man. But your body was born of Adam. And because it is a foreigner by birth, it has to be adopted. When you come to the bar mitzvah, you come to the adoption, then he changes your body into the same thing your spirit is. And that means that death can't... See, death worketh in the flesh. Death can't touch your spirit. You're eternal. You don't pass from death unto life, which is really death, that is, to the spirit. See, death is of the spirit. You know, if the spirit dies, it's separated from God. It goes into hell. That's the second death. But you pass from that. See, and your body can still go to sleep. But if you do the things of faith, if you listen, if you follow, if you honor the Lord, He promised it to you, and the word can't be broken. He said, Paul, the one that had the revelation, he was the one that knew about it. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. What is the mystery? Death is conquered. You pass from death unto life. Behold, I show you a mystery. Ye shall not all die or sleep. See, but we'll be changed. So I'm just saying that the bar mitzvah, be patient. The creature itself, which is your body, it shall be delivered. The whole earth, the beast are groaning. The waves of the sea, raging. They're wanting to have peace. Jesus stepped out on the waves of the sea, so to speak, and said, peace, be still. Said in the millennium, nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain. Satan is the turbulence. He's the problem. Sunshine and rain is no problem. But the turbulence is Satan as he gets into the thing and disturbs the wind, gets everything in a perverted way. Life is no problem. But the perversions of life is problem. Working is no problem. If a man was healthy and well, he just loves to do something. Build houses and do things. He just loves to do them kind of thing. Sail on a ship, you know, fly an airplane. But with his miseries, his fears, his complex of life, the bewilderments, all these tortures and anxieties, and these different things, it takes living. It takes life out of living. So then we're waiting for the bar mitzvah. We're waiting for the change. Just be patient. Work with him to save yourself. Yourself is the body, to bring it to the bar mitzvah. By your spiritual being, bring your body to the salvation, which means deliverance over the carnal mind of death. Let's get into Canaan, folks. Lift your hands up with me. I'm going to ask Scotty to come and dismiss us. While Scotty's coming to pray, let's lift our hands up. And don't forget, now you've got a great thing. To you to whom it has been revealed, start working to bring your body on in. Enoch brought his own in. After he brought his own in, he just went on over and retired. When I say to retire, that is from this world. Problems. So work with your body now to be holy in body and spirit. Paul said a full reward. A full reward means your body, soul, and spirit. Because all of them will come to that. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. See, so work to bring your body in. Paul said, I seek to present you before God, body, soul, and spirit. Perfect before God. There's a body realm, the Jews. There's a soul realm. That is the people of this realm right here. There is a spirit realm. But only the spirit realm is the perfect realm. Does that mean then, Brother Pike, that some will be saved? Some will be saved out of the body realm. 34. Some will be saved out of the blood realm. 64. The feminine part. Some will be saved out of the angelic or the spiritual realm, which is 100-fold. All right. Lord bless you. Scotty comes to pray with you.